Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. What a Friday it is. The morning after Cosimo de' Medici himself swept the floor on our NFT, the Nifty portal. My assumption is that it's just up only after that. So thanks to Cardi B for giving us that little intro. Yeah. What's going on, Nick?
Does he have some inside information or something? Because I'm trying to get some of the details on like what's going on with this project.
Well, I mean, Cosimo de' Medici, I think he qualifies as smart money. So my assumption is maybe you heard something on the street, you know?
Yeah, it's just weird to me, you know. Well, if you can find out any of that information, I'd really appreciate it because I'm always monitoring his wallet and trying to figure out why he's buying into the things that he is. But this one, you know, just has me a little bit flabbergasted.
Well, I got to brush up on you know, my Italian. I spoke it really well when I was a little kid, but I haven't used it in so long. I don't know if me and Cosimo would be able to communicate right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Who knows if he's even Italian? I'm going to be completely honest. The other thing I was thinking this morning, I don't know if you know this, but like my life has changed. And the reason for that is that, well, this is pretty big news, but we're on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. I didn't know that that's what made your life change. But
yeah, no, like I can't even believe it. Like I'm sitting here just thinking, being like, is this even possible? Like, is this my life? Like, are we honestly like on Spotify and Apple iTunes? And like, it turns out that yes, we are.
Okay, I just pinned it to the top. So now the Twitter show that you're listening to right now, if you don't want to dig through Twitter after the fact to be able to, you know, access it, you can go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and you can subscribe to the podcast there. And the YouTube show goes up as well. So just click on the morning show for this. And then the other videos are the YouTube podcast.
Clearly, it didn't have as large of an impact on your life as it has on mine. But let me just tell you, I'm moving on up, you know, and we just Captain Kicks, who's on stage, I guess, has arrived. When you send a private jet to your boy, you know, he's going to show up on time.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for this jet. The Wi-Fi, I'm 35,000 feet in the air. The Wi-Fi is incredible, honestly. Like, I'm pretty sure there's like a whole cell phone tower in here somewhere.
You're in the airport. You're not on the plane, right? You can't speak that loud on the plane.
I can do what I want. It's Nick's plane, dude. I'm naked on it right now.
That I told him, I said, dude, go full nude if you need to. And remember, we have an upcoming nude photo shoot, as I tweeted last night, because we think that would really add.
He actually has a sunroof panel on the top, so I'm really tanning that, you know, so I look nice and tan for you.
Did you go?
That's super cool.
At the restaurant? I mean, I think that they were really asking for a naked Nick at the restaurant last night.
No, the people were offended there, so we had to defer. We had to delay that photo shoot, unfortunately.
Yeah, God bless them. The servers over that restaurant, you know, Nick kept asking everyone, would you like a naked picture of me? And naturally, everybody kept saying no. I see Easy Eats, who hasn't been on the show this week because he was on a little vacay, is promptly getting rugged. So hopefully Elon Musk joins the show today and can talk to
us. He's probably getting ready to pick me up. He's my chauffeur.
Looks like Easy's back. Easy, are you able to speak right now, man?
I'm back. It's good to be back.
Oh shit!
I'm waiting.
It's great to hear
I'm
your voice.
For Kicks to show up here so that I can spend some good quality time with my favorite Nifty staff member.
Wait, but yeah. He just said he was waiting on you, so it sounds like there's like
miscommunication. I'm flying the plane to get him right now, so I'll be there soon.
Yeah, well, I'm still in the air, Nick, in your jet.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, thank you. Say what's up to Captain Jimmy. Great guy.
I'm surprised that Kicks is comfortable speaking that loud, but then again, it is a private jet. He is naked. That's super cool. You know, happy Friday, everybody listening in the audience. It's been an interesting week for us. It's been spicy AF. And it's been really great to see a little bit of recognition from one of the biggest whales in the space, Cosimo de' Medici. Can't wait to see what unfolds there. Signal, how are you?
Morning, folks. Very good, thank you. Today, Friday the 8th of April, Let's see what's happened in the NFT markets. Overnight, volume was at 115 million. On the blue chip front, ape collections are holding nicely. Apes at 111, mutants at 26, dogs 7.7. On Azuki, again, holding nicely there. Azuki at 26 and beans at 5.6. Clonex 18, Doodles 16, and Muffers all the way down to 3. World of Women continues to go down. That's now holding 8.6 and Galaxy steady at 1.4. Over the past 24 hours, Proof at an all-time new high. That floors over 90 ETH. That's 9-0. 0N1 Force, one of the early anime-style PFP collections, they released their frames and that floors at 0.7. Llamaverse, the Genesis, that's trading at 4 ETH and that was due to Smol, which can now be earned by Llama holders. BFF Friendship Bracelets are at 1.2. They're up from 1 ETH yesterday. Belle and Jesse were spot on with that. And the 10KTF stock room, the second entry point into the 10KTF ecosystem, is up at 0.1 ETH. Some of the overnight notables, the one-of-one art piece Life and Death by DK was acquired by Cosmo for $1 million. And Ferocious Paint, if you minted that, it keeps printing money. That floor is at 0.85 ETH. On the coin front, everything is ranging. BTC at 43, ETH at 3.2K and APE at $11. On the OpenSea stats, this week we started with a bang on Sunday at 176 million. That volume came down earlier in the week, stayed above 100, and we are 15% up on yesterday's. Last figures for today's volume so far was 36 million, but that was about 3 hours ago. That should have come up closer to 40, I imagine. But my prediction is we continue to see similar volume over the weekend. But this is definitely still the first half of April, still the pre-show. And I think there will be a lot more to come. The weekend forecast is blue skies. Back to you in the studio.
Thanks so much, Signal. And wait a minute, Signal. So you're telling me that Cosimo de' Medici bought that DK piece yesterday for seven figures. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess after he swept the floor, he must have had some chunk change left and just went for DK, life and death.
Well, he only
one of one.
Yeah, he only bought 8 of our NFT at like $600 a pop. So that's like $5,000. Why didn't he spend $1 million on our NFT?
Not
he will.
It.
Maybe he will.
Wow.
This is fucking bullshit. Getting real tired of this nonsense, you know? Like, look, if you're going to come around here with cash, you got to be ready to spend it, okay? You know what? My feelings about last night has changed a lot, but my feelings about our podcast episode, which you can find on Spotify and iTunes, that hasn't changed.
Yeah, I feel like we went from celebrating Cosimo de' Medici buying our NFT to now I feel like I want to start some beef with Cosimo de' Medici because he spent seven figures on a different NFT project in the same day. So everybody should understand that as of this moment, we have major beef with Cosimo de' Medici, even though we really appreciate that he swept the floor on the NFT. Next time, seven-figure sweep, or just leave the thing alone. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. All right, thank you very much to Cosimo de' Medici. This is so cool, and shout out to DK.
So that we can't actually put this show on iTunes. Thank you for that.
No. I was yapping over it. The algorithm won't be able to recognize that we used a copyrighted song. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Everything's going to be okay next.
Well, and that's not copyrighted because our boy Biggie gave us a shout out from above and was like, y'all can do it.
Okay. Josh, you have your hand raised. How's it going?
Yeah, I wanted to let everyone know if you listened to me shill yesterday, you'd be up 50% on those pre-mints. They're like 0.4 ETH yesterday. They're like 0.6. Five today. I know y'all like those quick flips, but this is a buy and hold play for me. I just wanted to say I hope no one remembers me ever talking about Bud Light, Pepsi, or anything like that. But this was a good call on my behalf, so I won't promote myself and say how good I am.
No, well, I mean, hell yeah.
About the gains. We only talk about the gains around here.
Well, I mean, it was basically the most obvious play in the NFT space, especially when it first came out. And you see some smart money people like Wappy on stage and Captain Kicks just immediately floor sweep it literally as soon as it minted out. I mean, I bought my first ones at sub 0.4. My highest buy was at actually at like 0.55 or 0.56. The unique ownership on it was just on steroids from the very beginning. I think it was actually even higher than it is now. It's kind of consolidating into people that are, you know, buying multiple at this point. But right now, 75% unique ownership on a 10K collection. And it's pretty much the most widely used mainstream software product in the space, I guess you could say. I mean, when you're registering for allow lists, you go on Prement. And I know, Josh, you had a conversation with the founder and he impressed you, right?
Yeah. I mean, he is really impressive. First of all, a very, very humble dude. Really smart. As I said yesterday, he has an exit to, I think it's Apple. He worked at Google. He's kind of a seasoned veteran entrepreneur and a builder. But what I thought was really interesting is looking at the space, one of the biggest issues that we have is having to connect a wallet that has really high value NFTs to mint something that's not high value, where there's some chance you could get your NFTs stolen. If this is going to put out a multi-wallet aggregator that allows you to not have to put your high value NFTs into a wallet in order to mint. So what that means is if this product gets traction and it works really well, this will functionally be something that like every wealthy JPEG owner want to own one of them. And I think, you know, anything could happen. It could crash way back down. But like, I think there's a real universe where this hits like a 3 floor without, you know, as this starts to build traction. It's very different than a PFP. Because the guy Mulligan, he's building out utility and actual value. So it's a 2-year pass, and I understand that it expires after 2 years, but then it allows you to mint the subsequent pass as well. I mean, I just think it's a very, very interesting play. So that's my 2 cents.
Yeah. And if I could add to it, what I would say is that if they are able to execute that very thing that you just talked about, which is, you know, the multi-wallet aggregator, you know, so that you don't have to potentially compromise incredibly valuable assets, what that does is it solves a big problem. Right. And when you think about like what you make a business for, it's to solve a problem. So if they can execute that, basically everybody that has a Bored Ape that is an active participant in the NFT space is going to be interested in buying this. And you have to think that at a sub one ETH floor, everybody with a Bored Ape will just view it as like an investment in a software product. If they have a business, maybe they even write it off because it is a software tool. Easy, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the fund that is OpenSea supporting Solana now. I know I've been gone for 4 days. Everyone forgot that's my home. But yeah, it's ton of fun. I do still think it's a little bit toppy. And I actually went on OpenSea, took a look, did not buy any Solana NFTs, and ended up buying a couple of the Lyrical Lemonade ones. So it's been fun even on vacation.
Oh, shit. The Lyrical Lemonade stuff came out?
Yeah, they revealed 500, like 400 Solanas, I think.
The cartons? What did you get in at? What price?
Not a good one. I got it at like 0.8, I think.
I thought it was like 2.5 ETH.
It tanked. Now I have to reveal.
Oh my God.
Down to 0.86. But the floor is wicked thin because there's only 500.
Jesse, what do you think of this?
I have no interest in comment. I was going to talk about the pre-mint thing, but.
I'm just a huge fan of like Cole Bennett in that entire space.
Yeah, I mean, at 0.8, I don't think it's that bad at 0.8, but yeah, I wasn't going to get in. Like when we were talking about it, it was 2 ETH, 1.6, and then it revealed, like, well, this is one of those we're going to have to see. If the team is like, you know, really.
You gotta look at the unique ownership on this too. There's 447 owners for a 500 collection.
Yeah. I don't like 500. I keep banging this drum. Maybe I'm wrong. I think sometimes you can go too low with the number, but.
I think maybe, this sets up a good opportunity for a secondary mint because Cole Bennett has a ton of IP under him. So he has a character called Lenny as well that he has a full animated series already released on Adult Swim with that he's been teasing a lot of that. And then on top of it, too, we've seen the Atom Bomb Squad situation where they've dropped the token-gated Shopify's where you actually need the asset, which makes total sense for something like Lyrical Lemonade, which does exclusive season clothing. So if they drop something like that, this is severely underpriced. I mean, we saw it peak at 2 pre-reveal, drop all the way down to 0.77. And even then, I felt like I was getting in late.
What's the name of the collection?
I went to his Instagram and found the OpenSea from that because I couldn't figure out the name. It's Lyrical Lemonade, but there's a bunch of like fake ones, too. So I was a little nervous.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, I can't find it on OpenSea right now, which isn't a great sign. It's also not, so some people bought it for 2 ETH and it tanked to 0.8. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Post reveal, it went all the way down to 0.77 was the lowest I saw.
Well, that's
it's
pretty
so
gnarly.
Thin. It's like 0.77, 0.85, 0.9, 1.2.
Well, that's so always, like, but that's the thing. Lot. That's just natural market dynamics when you have a lower supply, right? You could have a massive supply squeeze that pushes it to 5 ETH, but you also have very little liquidity. Could go either way. I'm assuming if this works out, then they'll do some sort of secondary collection. But I just wanted to say real quick, follow up on the pre-mint. I don't know. I'm concerned. I mean, if I'm doing pre-mint, I'm assuming you're betting on the founder more than anything, Josh. Like the problem with open source, or even if they do solve a problem, like I feel like everything just becomes a commodity because you can just
No, because you got to think about it as like almost like a two-sided market. So every major NFT project is minting on pre-mint. So they have like 2,500 different projects that have minted with them. So they're functionally building a moat because of their network. So yes, the software could be commoditized. If it was just a software play, I would agree with that. But a large number of people are going to want to allow the whitelist pre-mint holders to be on there as you get more and more high value wallet holders that will be in there. And that's actually where my bet comes from. Is I like the founder a lot, so I'm putting a bet on him. I did a spaces with him, spent an hour talking with him, just really sharp guy, really good at thinking about things. But then he's deeply networked in. They're handling the Moonbirds drop. They handle the World of Women Galaxy. They handle basically all the top names. So to me, I think that it's more of a bet on a network effect. And I think there's almost a virtuous cycle of the more expensive these passes get, the more desirable they become. And if, hypothetically, I mean, it'd be a moonshot, but like if they ever hit like a 5 or 10 ETH floor, at that price point, a lot of new projects will be like fighting to give away 300, 500, 1,000 spots to everybody that owns one of those. So it's not just a bet on the value of the pass, but it's subsequent mints that you might get with it. And it's the network effect of who this guy is connected with and who their team has worked with.
Does he get revenue from the minters, or is it still the business model is basically it's like freemium for them, and then just the NFT goes up? Because why would go ahead.
I don't know the exact details of that. I mean, I do know that they raised about $8 million on the pass, plus they're getting volume on secondary. So I mean, for a startup with that's a pretty good seed round in the traditional world where, it's not the cool NFT where the founders just, take 80, 90% out. This guy is treating it more in a boring sense of putting the money back into the business and reinvesting. Wappy, I want to hear your thoughts because you were early on it. You've got a big bag. You're one of the top 30 holders. What are you thinking?
I mean, it was pretty much what Josh just said. I mean, I don't really care who the guy is as the founder that much. To Jesse's point about the software, somebody else can come in and make the software. For me, it was more about this is going to be like a brand name because the best software is not always going to win. There might be something out there or something that comes along that can do more or be better, but this is kind of branded as pre-mint and you have Gucci using it and you have all these other big brands coming and using it and big projects coming and using it. So I don't think that this is explicitly written anywhere, but it was kind of what Josh just said about if you can get a good community of people, you're probably going to have projects go and be like, hey, we want to include, X amount of raffle for pre-mint holders, or pre-mint might even be able to say, hey, you want to use our platform, you've got to throw us some raffle spots. So I don't think that's explicitly written anywhere. I don't see how it doesn't become that. Maybe it's not tomorrow, maybe it's not in the next month or two, but in the future, that's kind of where I saw this going, and that's where I saw the value being there. Because you see some of these other alpha groups or, the nerds, Genesis item or some of these other like tool items that you have to pay for where you buy like the lifetime, those things sometimes get a premium traded on them, especially if the market picks up and actually desires what it is. And I just look at how many people have been using pre-mint, and that's my bull case behind it.
Yeah, that was my concern, that it was closer to something like one of those tools, which are to me like the supply just keeps growing, because it's not that, you know, the Moby basically copied IC Tool. Anybody can, you know, you can kind of, it doesn't make it that hard to do another NFT Nerds. So you have to build out, like you said, some sort of network. So that's, I mean, that's definitely good to know, because obviously you don't need to have,
I'm just
like
not
said,
really
the best
sure
product.
What
I mean,
else
we all
is
use
doing whitelists.
Like literally like everybody scale. Hates LinkedIn. Everybody in the universe, no one has ever said they like LinkedIn, and it's still the standard. Like you don't have to have the best product if it just becomes the standard in the industry. So yeah, no, that's definitely useful.
I would just say, Jesse, like I'm using it right now. I don't find the product annoying either. So like I don't know of another product that's doing it, and I don't like hate the product that they're putting out. So
yeah,
it's got a couple things going for
it. It's a pretty
good
product. You know, I mean, I think that's something that's important for our listeners to hear, is this isn't like a second rate product. It's the kind of combination of the two. You have the best product in the industry today, or at least that I'm aware of. Yeah, I mean, limited, you know, knowledge is one data point, but you have the best product with a really good network of users, with a really good network of connections with this. You know, just yesterday, or no, just this morning, I was talking in the Vayner Sports Discord about it, and AJ said he's hopping on a Zoom with the guy on Monday. Kevin Rose hopped on a call with him and set up the Moonbirds. So, I mean, I also think there's a big chance that a lot of people who might want to mint a Moonbird might buy one of these instead if they don't get that raffle win. So, it could also go back down. I mean, I'm looking at a longer play with this. But that's my two cents. And really quick question, Wapi, how do you connect the NFT to their site to actually get access to it? How do you do that piece of it?
I think what I'm doing is, like, if you go to any pre-mint, like, website, like, if you just go to one that you're signing up for, like the Moonbird Project, I think in, like, the top left corner, you can click on, like, Inbox. And that's how I've been getting to what I've signed up for and some of the other features that come along with it.
Got it.
I'm not sure if that's the best way to do it or not. That's just how I've been doing it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't want to take up too much of the time on the show for this, but that's my pick, that in Vayner Sports this week. I went pretty heavy, and to give like everyone an idea of how I'm feeling, these two plays made up probably the largest bet that I made in this calendar year. So I pretty high conviction on both of them. Doesn't
I like that right. Vayner Sports play a lot. That was the other thing I bought while on vacation. I like that play a lot.
Yeah, I went on the larger side of my bet range for that.
Irresponsibly long, Josh?
I think responsibly long. it was something that I believe in a lot. I think that's really a utility play. So this year I've said, for the most part, I want to be betting utility and gaming. Gaming hasn't come along far enough for me to really find anything that like captivates my attention. But these two utility plays, I just love utility a lot more. I think, you know, kind of in the next 6 months, I would anticipate maybe a better ROI on the pre-mint, but I anticipate the Vayner Sports, you know, that's like a 5-year play. I mean, I think that could be really big. I ended up going hard on that. I like placing a bet on AJ as well. I mean, I think he's going to work hard and build it out. So,
yeah, I mean, look, it's, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I bought a lot of them. So you're talking to someone that owns a bunch of them, right? I got 4 in my wallet. I bought like 3 or 4 in the group wallet. I'm making a bet on it, but it's like at some point, who are you going to bet on, right? And it's like Gary has crushed in the NFT space, absolutely crushed, like top 3, top 4 performance in the NFT space. And then there was FUD around this because of the botched drop with the gas issues, which seems like it's been there's been some sort of solution there, at least to some capacity, but that just gave everybody an entry point of 0.4 or less. I mean, look, I just bought that Lyrical Lemonade carton by Cole Bennett that Easy was talking about. It's called The Carton on OpenSea. I bought it for 1 ETH. And the thing that made me buy it is apparently Cole Bennett already has another project on OpenSea that has a very high floor and has like 56 Ethereum of volume traded. So, I mean, this is a young guy that's an incredibly talented music video director. That's the literal world that I come from. And he is like a phenom in that world. And if he's going to actually apply himself to NFTs, then this will be a monster win.
You got to think who's in his circle too. Like, we all know Banks pump stuff, but him and Banks are close. He's got a lot of big name people and up and coming artists backing him. And on top of it, the guy's put on multiple festivals, multiple real life events. I just think that the potential value and upside for what this small supply can give, especially to a more curated community, is it's massive. We already see the interest is there at 2.5. We got a poster bill sell off. In my opinion, it's a great buy. I'm just bullish on the guy himself. Like you said, he's also been teasing this project for almost a year now. So it's interesting.
It's kind of like a proof play, is it not?
Like two different verticals for sure. I do like the similarities from like the kind of media and content creation standpoint, but Kevin Rose is definitely a different audience. Like, you have to remember too, Cole Bennett's biggest audience is probably 16 to 25. So the funds are probably not similar as far as that goes for who'd be backing the project. But at the same time, it's like, if this gives me access to some of the real life events or access to up and coming artists or access to anything that's in the Lyrical Lemonade umbrella, I'm bullish as hell on it. I mean, the guy's basically self-made from what he's done. He taught himself how to video edit. He's got one of my favorite TED Talks, too. Like, I'm just a huge Cole Bennett fan. So, for me, it's just a no-brainer from something I'm actually happy to buy and hold.
Yeah. And so, if I look at my wallet, I'm so happy about the buys that I've made in the past week. And it also is kind of reflective of where the NFT space is going. We got the Vayner Sports Pass. That's obviously a utility pass, right? That's not like a cartoon animal or something. We have this Cole Bennett Lyrical Lemonade carton. I feel pretty good about that after hearing you. Thank you for bringing that up, Easy. Where have you been all week, buddy? And then we've got the Premint Pass, which we've all already covered ad nauseum. I have to think that's a legit utility play. World of Women Galaxy, we all know World of Women is popping. Alpha Sharks, a tool that is a competitor to NFT Nerds, that's going pretty well. And then Fuck Renders Essence, another talented artist that's crushing. I'm so mad I didn't buy the Ferocious Paint. That was so stupid. The fact that Ferocious Paint is printing money, and I should have absolutely known that coming from Nifty Gateway. Fading Ferocious is not a smart thing to do. That was a dumb miss by me. So stupid by
especially
me.
Especially at
point so three, dumb.
Where it's not as risky as the. I know you got the X copy too, but it's like you can get. Yeah.
God, so dumb, dude! I can't believe I didn't do that. Go ahead, Justin.
I think you wanted to say you're thanking Easy for bringing up Lyrical Lemonade after I did 3 days ago and you fudded it. I think that's.
Yeah, but if I bought it when you said, I would have bought it for 2.5. I just bought it for one.
I didn't say to buy it though. I'm just joking. I brought. But yeah, we were talking about it the other day, Easy, because we were concerned. We were concerned about the music guy just coming out of nowhere. But yeah, no, point eight.
Yeah,
I do like that price.
I completely agree. Like the music scene, it's we haven't seen any big plays. A lot of these guys seem like it's a cash grab. But to be fair, like that's the small supply was actually bullish for me because it showed he wasn't just trying to get a 10K collection off the ground and dump it on everyone. Like, I really like that he's trying to keep it somewhat small at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. He very well could just forget about the damn thing in 3 months, but I like to hope he's going to keep trying to build off this.
No, I mean, I'll bet on this guy. Wop, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I listened to the Dolce & Gabbana Twitter spaces last night and like streamed really late at night, like 9 or 10 o'clock my time. I think it's a project to watch. I know it's an expensive mint. I think people are probably going to FUD it because they FUDed Gucci at 1 ETH. So why not FUD Dolce & Gabbana at 1.2 ETH? But I think the team behind it sounds very legitimate, well-spoken, sounds like they know what they're doing. Dolce & Gabbana sounds like they're going to try to put a lot of effort into this, both in terms of metaverse and real life events and real life items. The guys last night were even saying that they're going to be creating real life items that are not available within other parts of the Dolce & Gabbana like ecosystem or collection. So it's stuff that you're only going to be able to get through owning this kind of stuff. So I just think it's something people can keep on their radar.
Look, if the fashion brands like Gucci, I mean, Gucci partnering with 10KTF, I think is an absolutely amazing. I mean, honestly, in hindsight and letting it sit for a few weeks, I don't know if anybody just really disagrees with me here, but I feel like the Gucci thing was brilliant. Like I got Esquire on the stage and we're going to hear from him in a second. He's sporting the Gucci ape that I sold to him. So it's my mutant ape with the Gucci polo outfit. I just think it was really masterful. I know that the market doesn't get it yet, but at the same time, the market didn't understand 10KTF for literally 7 months, and then all of a sudden last week it woke up in 1 second. And I feel like Dolce & Gabbana, you know, Bape too. The thing that Bape messed up was that instead of using the dope ass Bape art and making a generative collection with that, the way Cole Bennett did with the Lyrical Lemonade art, by the way. Bape like hired some bozos to just do some weird 3D art that looks like it came out of Instagram or something. Really weird.
I got a better 3D Fiverr artist than Bape hired.
Yeah, really, really weird move by Bape. Me and Wappy are grateful for the trade, though, because that was a fantastic trade. And Wappy, we still haven't we really do have to get on a YouTube stream and just focus on that trade if we can remember the details, because it was such a roller coaster ride. But there was also just like crazy electricity in that project. And I feel like you and me both knew the whole time through the volatility that it was going to absolutely shred. And we both made a bag off of it. We both sold too early, but hey, who cares? But yeah, I mean, look, we got Esquire on stage. Esquire made an offer on my Gucci Mutant Ape. I negotiated with him. Come on, man. You know, P's a killer. I'm going to negotiate with you. But Esquire, I wanted to have you talk about what happened after you bought my Gucci Ape, because I feel like there's people in the audience that are really experienced in NFTs, but there might be people that have less experience and they don't quite understand what can happen in the space sometimes and how you have to be really, really careful. So Esquire, can you kind of tell the tale of what happened after you bought that Gucci Ape off me?
Yeah, man, absolutely. So basically, I buy this ape. I was super hyped. I was out at Miami NFT last week with a couple of my buddies who were speaking. And I saw your ape. I saw it listed the week before, so I wanted it. But I know you delisted it. And I let you negotiate me only because I knew that the floor for the apes were 1.2 at the time. So I was like, all right, that's fair. But basically, I was stoked to get this ape. Yesterday, I was killing it last week. I had like two or three Ever-Eyes. I had four Akumas. Early, like below mint price when they dropped. So I'm crushing shit and I feel really good. So I'm pushing yesterday and not paying attention because I'm an attorney. I'm always working, you know, and I'm half working. And then you're like, oh man, something's going to pop up. So I traded one of my Ever-Eye, got two of the Shinsekai, and I got one other thing. I forget which one it is, but one of the other kind of anime things that popped off yesterday. And basically, I knew there was still a public mint later on. So I was on Twitter, and I have notifications from the Shinsekai group. And basically, I think what happened was I saw the notification from them about their public mint starting, but there was also a tag for me with, like, a fake phishing site underneath it. And what does my dumbass do? I hit the fake phishing site. So I go think I'm minting, too, in the public mint, and then all of a sudden I go to OpenSea, and nothing's there. And I'm like, oh, man.
Your whole wallet got drained?
No, bro, but I was like, I told somebody in the portal, I was like, bro, I mean, it's 0.3. I'll take that L. You know what I mean? I'll take it on the chin as long as I didn't get anything else.
Did he transfer it all out?
Scrolling, all of a sudden, my Gucci ape, my P.O. Gucci ape is gone. And I was so pissed, bro. And I'm like, oh, my God, really? So I flip everything that I had. And I tell everyone in the chat, and then, you know, a bunch of people are like, oh, man, that sucks. And then everyone's like, you know, make sure you remove the what's the word I'm looking for? Remove the whatever.
Revoke. Revoke access.
Revoke access. So I try to revoke, but I don't see anything that looks weird. So I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like waiting for my wallet to get drained. I'm freaking out. And I got two guys from the chat message me directly. And they're like guiding me through this. And then the dude sells it for one ETH. And I'm like, no, you don't have any. He sold it for one ETH. I'm like, where am I going to come up with some ETH? But then I realized I flipped the Ever-Eye. And all three of the things I bought yesterday had like gone up by at least 0.2. So I had like 1.5 that I could flip right then and there. So I'm flipping that, trying to make sure nobody buys this ape ahead of time. And then all of a sudden I was able to get it. Like I flipped all of them in like 5 minutes. And then I go back and buy my ape and I have like a little victory tweet where I'm like, nah, fuck you. I'm gonna get it back. You know? And then all of a sudden I look in my chat and one of the guys goes, oh, if you look at it, the only thing they had access to was Gucci. So if you don't have anything Gucci in your wallet, then you're good. And I'm like, bro, I just bought it back. You know, so it's sitting in my wallet. And I did. And then all of a sudden I could see in the revoke cash that's the one that was the bad contract. And they had unlimited access to Gucci in my wallet. So I basically am trying to figure that out. I tried to do everything I could. I literally went from trying to transfer it right away. But like my nonces got messed up. So like, you know, when your MetaMask kind of freezes and I had to like completely reinstall it. To wipe the old transactions. I'm freaking out the whole time. I finally get the transaction to clear the access that they had, and then it's gone again. And I'm like, no way. And I was like, bro, that was it. That was my NFT experience. I'm not going to make it. 100% that's how I felt. And I was like literally like about to throw something through my TV. Then all of a sudden I get the little doo-doo from Discord, and one of the guys in the portal was like, bro, you transferred it somewhere else. He was like, you did it. And I was like, what do you mean? And it was that first transfer I tried to do that had failed of me. I opened a second account in my ledger because I'd never done it before. And I had tried to switch it, but it never confirmed. But it confirms like 10 minutes later. And I had sent it to myself. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, I was so, I mean, I'm pissed that I lost the 1.3 or whatever I paid to get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, I needed that Gucci. And you're not just going to take something from me and not let me get it back. I mean, I guess I could have, but, you know, I was blessed yesterday. And honestly, you know, PO reached out, which I really appreciated. Like, you didn't have to do that, man, but it meant a lot. And then having two guys in the portal just jump straight in my DMs and, like, guide me through the process. Like, it's why I love this community, man. And I know, you know, for me, I've been scammed one other time, and it's always when I'm, like, half paying attention because I'm doing something else and I'm not, you know, I'm kind of, like, moving too fast. But I was really appreciative of everybody in the portal for having my back and kind of walking me through the process. And, you know, I'm definitely going to try to hook y'all up.
Dude, you just said the number one thing that happens, which is – and it's when I was the first time, and I think the last time I was scammed, which was when you're on a phone or like on a call or doing something else. That's when like some random message pops up and you click on a thing. That's like always when you end up getting hacked. So yeah, you gotta
don't multitask trading.
Well, no, I mean, for real, and don't do stuff early in the morning and late at night. And I mean, Esquire, that's a badass story. I got scammed for the first and only time 366 days after I bought my first NFT. So one day after my like the completion of my rookie year in NFTs, I woke up at like 6 a.m. It was the day of the Invisible Friends Mint, and I was on the allow list, and that was like the hottest allow list to get on basically in the history of NFTs. And I saw one of the Metaverse HQ guys on Ninja Alerts mint Invisible Friends. And I was like, oh shit, I can mint it. So I went to the site and I minted Invisible Friends for like, you know, 0.2 ETH each. I minted two. I didn't know that you could only mint one. And it just turned out to be a fake site. So I got robbed of 0.4 ETH right then and there. So you definitely have to like have some wherewithal. You have to be awake. But that's an incredibly badass story that you went and got that Gucci 8 back after it was stolen for you. I'm really sorry that you lost money in the process. But, you know, I'm going to make sure I already told Eric, you know, from our, you know, one of our staff members that you should, you know, get a good whitelist or, you know, a good allow list opportunity so that you're able to buy something, you know, that you can make some money on. So we're going to get you back on that. Just give us a little time for something good to come about. But thanks for sharing that story, man. And it obviously makes me feel really good that our community helped you out throughout the process.
No, I appreciate it. Seriously. And I know it was my screw up. So, I mean, I got to take the L for my own L. But seriously, the way everybody came together and just I felt and you see, we've all seen on Twitter where people are like, oh, man, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? And I feel like that myself. But, you know, it wasn't that. It was a bunch of people trying to help. So, you know, the Portal fam and you guys, PO, even reaching out personally. I really appreciate that. And I love you guys. Really, man, that changed the game for me. And I feel like this space, there's good people in this space the same way there's bad people. So I appreciate all of it.
Yeah, my pleasure, man, of course. And thanks for sharing the story. So we got Lago Frames. Is this Scott from Lago on stage right now? Maybe not. Well, I didn't know if Scott wanted to do one of his famous giveaways or just to talk about NFT projects. So, Scott, if you're around, you can definitely chat. We've got someone that I don't believe.
I am here. Hello, this is Scott. How you doing, Pio?
Good, good. How are you, Scott?
Doing well. So I got caught up doing something at the same time. Luckily, I'm not trying to buy an ape. So I have an idea, which we've been sort of like playing around with since last time we were on the morning show. And, you know, we were talking about rewarding your NFT holders in your community. So I don't want to give too much away, but we
are. Are you in the shower? Are you in the
shower? Of course not. I'm doing dishes.
Okay. So what were you thinking for rewarding our holders?
So like I was saying that I can't give too much away yet, but we are working on something that I think will be very enticing specifically for your community holders, which if you hold something that we're going to be putting out and you also have one of your NFTs, well, there's going to be very, 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 very something special that automatically comes with it. And if you use your imagination, you'll be able to guess what that is. And we'll be communicating a bit more about this in the coming weeks. And I think the morning show will be the great place to tell it first.
It's going to be a private jet. So thank you for handing that out. If you own a Nifty Portal NFT and some NFT that Lago's dropping, you get at least one private jet flight literally anywhere in the world. Thank you for that.
Incredibly cool.
It comes with a shower in the jet too. So
everyone... we got a shower jet. That's incredible. So I actually want to call out one thing. And so at the beginning of the week, we rolled out a new game, I guess you can say, for Nifty Portal holders to participate in the Discord. And what it is weekly NFT pick'em. So basically at the beginning of the week, you could vote on one of five projects and you're basically making a bet on which one is going to appreciate the most by the end of the week. So the idea behind this is that it's a way for people to participate in the NFT space without necessarily having to deploy the massive capital that you have to deploy to get into some of these projects. It's almost like a DraftKings, like a fantasy NFT sports pick'em. So the five projects on Monday that people could have picked in the Discord if they hold a Nifty Portal are the Pre-Mint project that we're talking about now, Alpha Sharks, Frenzies, Cyber Brokers by Josie Bellini, and Beans Official, which is the Azuki drop, the airdrop that went to Azuki.
When do we have to pick that by?
Well, you had to pick it by Monday, Nick, and clearly you didn't participate.
Why did we announce it after that option showed up? That seems like a really reasonable approach to things.
Nick, you sound like a crazy old man, and I literally don't know what you're talking about. So a lot of people participated in this competition that was clearly communicated, and we don't know what Nick is talking about. Clearly, he's out of touch with the Discord.
This is the first time that you ever mentioned it on this show, I'm just saying.
Got it. Mentioned it on Monday. Listen to the recording, Nick. And so basically, Pre-Mint turned out to be the winner by a whopping 57% appreciation. Second place was Beans Official by Azuki. And then Frenzies and Cyber Brokers actually went down in value. So 257 Nifty Portal holders participated. 58 people got it right. This week's round was actually a warm-up. So definitely stay tuned for next week when we release the next round. And yeah, you're going to want to make your pick. And the idea is that this is going to basically be a tournament. And as people advance in the tournament, they will get rewards and prizes like Ethereum out of the community wallet and potentially NFT rewards too. So again, this is, in my opinion, a cool way for people to be able to participate in the NFT space in like a DraftKings fantasy sports type of capacity without actually having to spend their own money, but being able to win actual rewards for making good picks. My prediction, Nick will never win one of these rounds because he's not good at picking NFTs.
I'm winning the whole damn thing and I'm taking all the money for myself.
Do I get a win? Do I get a win? I didn't participate, but I like suggested.
So apparently this was a practice round, according to Elizabeth, and the real one starts next week. So appreciate that. This one did not even matter. So congrats to all those who selected it. It didn't matter. The real game starts now, okay? And that's the one that I'm going to be winning.
Yeah, and people in the Discord now are like, damn, I wish it was the real thing. Like, we're going to be doing this regularly. So just, you know, be in the Discord, participate regularly. You'll have chances to win. Signal, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we did this 2 weeks ago on stage. Jesse gave Huxley. Easy gave Bored Ape Kennel Dogs. I gave VCon tickets. Speculator gave Cyber Brokers. POU gave Loser Club. Nick declined to answer. And Josh gave VCon tickets.
Nick declined to answer. I love it. He's just like, no, wait, I'm not even going to participate.
Is that really what I did?
Yeah, you just literally, like.
I do kind of remember that. Yeah.
Hey, here's a tip, Nick. Play ball when you're the co-host of the show. But anyway, Signal, who ended up winning that one, which was an informal one on the show?
It depends on the end date. If the end date was yesterday, I have to come back to you on that. But in terms of some of the winners would have been Kicks with Cyber Brokers for sure. Josh and I with VCon tickets. Losers, Easy, he got the dogs wrong, and PO, you got Loser Club wrong.
Yep, definitely got it wrong.
And Jesse, you got Huxley wrong as well.
All right. Well, next time I'll definitely try to get it right. But either way,
at least we identified who's not good at this game. Great job.
Either way, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the pick'em in the Discord works out. I'm sure people will really kind of rally around that, because I do think it's like a fun idea where there's no risk in participating, right? You're not actually putting money down to participate, but you have the upside, the option to potentially win prizes if you are advancing in the tournament. So that'll be really cool to check out. We have a new speaker on stage that we haven't heard from before, I don't believe. JPEG Curator. JPEG Curator, what's going on?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, good. What JPEGs are you curating this week?
So I've spent a lot of time in the Terra ecosystem, and I know it's really annoying speaking about other blockchains. Really, really annoying when you've got to try and bridge across or whatever. But there's one particular project on Terra called Levana, which is so interesting, really complex, really mental what they're trying to create. And I think probably a lot of people that have never even heard of it, let alone want to potentially find out about it. So I don't know if you want me to elaborate a bit further on that.
So this is on the Terra Luna blockchain?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, we can do a quick bit on it. Or honestly, like, I'm just very ignorant to what's going on that blockchain. Is that a big NFT market? Have there been any NFTs that have like loomed there?
Yeah, Wagby Monkeys took off on there. I know me and Scout from the Discord got in kind of early. We got in and it was like 22 Luna when Luna was trading like $20.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of, actually, there's been kind of like two mini little bull runs over on Terra. One was about 1.5 months ago, 2 months ago. The other one's just sort of like 5 or so days old now. Most projects in the last 5 days have 2 or 3x'd for the most part. The sort of main blue chip on the blockchain, Galactic Punks, has run from sort of like a 30 Luna floor all the way up to sort of 60 Luna floor. And in that time, Luna's done a 2x as well. So that's pretty big appreciation on that for the biggest project. But the Levana basically created by Delphi, like the loads of massive investors, including Delphi, who essentially backed Luna full stop, really. One of the biggest investments in the actual blockchain itself. And what they're trying to create is a perpetual swaps protocol that's essentially trying to be a massive drain for the stablecoin UST. And they've created these really wicked dragon NFTs that have been a really complex process of, they've already released sort of like 4 actual games. They've all been pay-to-earn games that if you completed the game, you got airdropped an NFT along the way. So they've actually been creating these sort of pay-to-earn games along the way, all around these dragons, all to try and generate a use case for these for the NFT holders to extract essentially trading fees from the new perpetual swap platform on the Terra blockchain, which is going to be run from the Levana protocol. Sounds so complex, right? And it's not simple, but it's one of those things that if it does take off, and it's got so much funding, there's a very, very good chance that if Terra as a blockchain can survive, which is basically predicated on the fact that UST is used as a stablecoin across the if UST can be used as a stablecoin across different blockchains, there's like actual demand for UST, then Luna will be a very, very valuable asset. And the Terra blockchain will be fucking very valuable as well. If that's the case, then the Levana as a protocol will be able to draw in an enormous degree of money because it's obviously perpetual. So the leverage there is pretty enormous. The team behind Levana are so intent on ensuring that the NFT holders are taken care of, that if Luna's successful, Levana will be successful. And if Levana's successful, the upside potential for this particular project as NFT holders, I think there's not many things that could potentially match it in across any chain, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with the other chains, right? So for example, I have one NFT on Tezos. I was fortunate to get on the Dogami allow list and I got the Dogamis and it was like an 11X or something and they're going to give us a token airdrop and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like Tezos, and I'm going to mute you for a second because you have a lot of background noise. I think Tezos is, emerging as a relevant chain. I mean, someone like Easy would know much more about this than me. He was early to Solana NFTs and obviously did incredibly well, just getting really deep in that ecosystem. But Easy, I guess, but real quick, and then we can move on. Besides ETH, what other blockchains do you think are really interesting for NFTs right now?
It's Luna and AVAX. Those are the two.
Really?
Yeah, Luna, Avax, obviously, like Solana is, I think it's solidified itself as number two right now for NFTs and that blockchain. But yeah, Luna and Avax are my two big bets right now, as far as like the chains I'm really diving real deep into. FTM had a decent run last year, but with a lot of their developers leaving, I'm kind of bearish on that chain, and kind of with some of the main heads there closing the door. But we've seen Luna 3x in the last 3 months. So that's insane. And obviously the NFTs are actually both going up with the price. So it's an interesting dynamic right now. But then Avax has a lot of very low cost, you could call it play to earn. It's like the Wolf Game style games, which people do enjoy. So we see a lot of that, and a lot of node plays are picking up on Avax because it is a very cheap alternative to ETH with transaction fees, completely drivable off of MetaMask. So yeah, those are the two chains I'm diving into extremely heavily right now.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And JPEG Curator, you buying anything on Ethereum? I don't know if you've heard of the Ethereum blockchain. You buying anything on it?
Yeah, of course. ETH's where I started. And the only reason I actually got into Terra was because I took a small bet in Terra like 6 months ago, and it just turned into my biggest bag because it's just, you know, it was $5, and now it would trade up to 120, which is just mental. For ETH, my biggest bags now are BioPills, Huxley, and I have actually taken quite a big bet in the Boring Ape Chronicles. I know you guys mentioned it a couple of weeks ago.
You think that's going to work out?
Well, I mean, I bought it at 0.15. It's sitting at 0.75 now, I think.
Very nice.
But have you got some information as to why it potentially isn't going to work out? Okay, cool. I just think like when you've got a project, when you've got
some info.
Oh, yeah.
It's crypto. So, yeah, you lose money a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. But obviously everything's super risky, isn't it? But the Boring Ape Chronicles, it seems to be like when you've got something that's a creator that's already produced a kind of smaller collection with a pretty high floor price, there's already the demand for it, and there's potential then for the new product that they're going to release. Obviously, the Boring Ape Chronicles, the reason it's gone up in price so much is because people think that it's going to be a mint pass for the generative project for Timpers. So, you know, that's sort of setting the price for that generative project, which is like a 5,000 supply at 0.75 right now, which potentially might be overpriced by the time it's actually released. But, you know.
Got it. Well, some people are saying that they like your picks because of BYO pills. What do you think about the current state of affairs with BYO pills? And did you get into that super early?
I didn't get into it super early. You know, like, it's so weird with NFTs, right? Because I got into BYO pills at like 0.3, 0.4. And I was trying to find out loads of information about it at the time. And there was like, it was so hard to actually get people, find the people who are bullish on it, apart from people just in the Discord. And so when I took my bet on it, I hadn't really heard about it anywhere. There wasn't many YouTube videos on it. No one was really discussing it apart from the people in the Discord. And as soon as you discuss sort of like potential price in their Discord, they give you a slap and tell you to get out. So it's quite hard to find out what people actually think for the project long-term. But I think they have created a phenomenal community there. They have got a product that if a game that is potentially going to be fun to play. And if they can create a game that's actually fun to play, because most crypto games are just actually rubbish, boring, not very fun to play. If they can create a game that's actually fun to play, then I think it's going to be very, very good. But right now, it's just pure speculation, really. I will exit it around about 3 or 5 ETH. That's what my target for BioPills. I think it's definitely got a chance to get into that sort of level.
That's a great target. Well, thanks for coming on stage. You're welcome to come back, JPEG Curator. We got crypto.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. We got Crypto Palace on stage from the Nifty Portal community. What is going on? What are you looking at?
What's up, my guys? Yeah, it's not Crypto Palace, Cryptopolis, like Metropolis.
Oh, Cryptopolis. But yeah, isn't it supposed to be? Yeah, you spelled it wrong.
Okay, yeah, but I got three things. So the big win of the week was the Omni Chain, the Ghostly Ghosts. It was a free mint. I got 20 of them. They're sitting at a 0.49 floor. I minted the rare Kevin. I flipped it for 2 ETH. 10 minutes later, it went for 4 ETH. And then the next day, it went for 8 ETH. So the alpha is there's a Twitter Spaces with Andrew Wang. And they're going to talk.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're going to talk with the founders of the project and also the founders of the Layer Zero, which raised, I think, $170 million venture capital investment. So, you know, it's an NFT that you can move across chains, and it's pretty cool. The other project, one of my
what chains does it move across, and what's the NFT?
So it's called Ghostly Ghosts. It's kind of hard to spell. It's like G-H with a zero, S-T-L-Y-G-H. But yeah, you can move it across seven chains. So it can go to what are the chains? It can go to I don't know. It's a
this is one of those new. This is
Somana,
the new.
AVAX, Arbitrum, Polygon. There's a few others, and they
got hacked on, exactly.
But
this is
one thing to call out. They change the NFT metadata changes as you go across chains. So supposedly you can unlock rare traits if you bridge it over to other stuff. Personally, though, I've tried to move money to Matic, and it's still it takes 72 hours. So I don't know how that's going to affect moving an NFT across multiple chains, especially ones that are on separate underlying blockchains. Pivoting to Sol from ETH is just not easy. So I'm curious how they actually plan to do some of that.
It's none of us really own it, but this was in the Discord. This is the same thing with Frank Franks. This is the new, since PFPs are kind of dead right now, this is the one that's surviving. Obviously, Frank Franks went to 1.2, maybe Wappy knows more, but apparently there may be an arbitrage opportunity depending on which one you mint on and blah, blah, blah. I'm not in it, but if you go to our Discord, you might be able to get some intel, or maybe Wappy or Cryptopolis can tell you.
Well, I have another project that's...
I should say both those chains that were mentioned as part of the swapping there, they're both EVM compatible. And Arbitrum has been doing a great job on the infrastructure side, probably one of the fastest as an EVM compatible chain that's on the radar right now.
Yeah, that AVAX and Matic all make sense. But when you're leaving something that's not on that same underlying chain, there's some concerns. You lose a lot of the transparency on it.
Okay, and Cryptopolis, your reputation precedes you. I am paying attention to the Discord right now. First of all, everybody agrees with me that you spelled your name wrong. So just wanted to make sure that I really lean into that and make sure that you understand
I don't agree. I'm going to be honest. I disagree. Well, I feel like it definitely makes sense, Cryptopolis. That's how
ladies and gentlemen,
I got another project.
Of course. And ladies and gentlemen, another golden take by Nick. That's apparently how you spell Metropolis, is with an A. That's Nifty Nick, the CEO of the Nifty, ladies and gentlemen, big brain. So Cryptopolis, what other projects do you have? And apparently you were referred to in the Discord as the D-Gen King. Popcan, one of our mods, said, can you please tell this guy to take some fucking profit? So I didn't know that this is... apparently everybody knows about you. Do you diamond hand everything to the point that you take a loss?
No. I let my Corkies go at 0.3. I let my Feline Fiends go at 0.06. Yeah, I'm diming handing the ghost though. But the other project, a friend of mine, I'm not a part of the team, but a friend of mine, I'm in Bali, Indonesia, by the way, which is a huge crypto NFT hub. And these guys have created an on-chain poker game where you can bet in ETH and Matic, and it's going to be live after reveal. It's called Hold'em Heroes, and it's
these are friends
dead.
Of yours?
They're friends of mine, yeah. And the thing that's really interesting is it's very, you know, people don't really know about it. They don't really know how to market or anything. But what's crazy is they're doing a new thing called dynamic pricing. So it's going to start at 0.1, but based on demand for the mint, it's only a 13-26 supply, because that's the max amount of combinations you could have for in Hold'em Poker for two cards. But it's going to go up or down based on the mints per minute. So that launches 420. It's called Hold'em Heroes on Twitter. And then the last project is an old one, Wizards and Dragons. They're launching today, relaunching their game. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's pretty old, but they've been working on the contracts. Everything's been audited. So if you want to get in at some cheap prices, You know, people are starting to purchase them, but that's going to go live. So Hold'em Heroes and Wizards and Dragons.
And real quick, I'm pretty surprised that you brought up these projects. People in the Discord have immediately called out that these are shills. And I'm not necessarily opposed to somebody bringing up a project that their friends are responsible for. But the bottom line is, like, are you implying that this poker project that you just brought up, you know, to the audience of this show is going to be a relevant project in the space? Because I find that hard to believe. I'm not trying to be like a dick here, but it's anymore. A strict no self-promotion show. You're in our Discord. You know how it goes.
Yeah, look, I'm not on the team. I didn't mean to kill it.
But they're friends of yours.
Killing it still be alive.
Yeah, but it's revolutionary, right, to have something on chain. Yeah, I mean, in Bali, we go to meetings all the time.
But is it going to be relevant in the broader global NFT community, right? Like,
yeah.
Killing it still be alive.
Well, don't show on the show.
Let me ask you a question. If you want to make money in flip, and you meant the pieces in this NFT, those are going to be worth a ton of money. If you want to flip and make money, but gambling, bro, everybody likes to gamble. So you
right,
can
and there will be gambling projects that are relevant. But on this show, right, we talk about the pro level. When you watch the NBA and you watch Inside the NBA, they talk about the players in the NBA. They don't talk about a guy that's crushing it, you know, at the YMCA. You know what I mean? So that's the one thing. Hey, look, I'll eat my words. If this poker project is something that everybody in the NFT space is talking about, it's a smash hit. It moves 500 Ethereum in volume on the secondary market within 2 weeks, then I'm the bozo. But otherwise, it doesn't necessarily sound like it's the same thing as, for example, the Ghost NFT that you have at your PFP.
That's true. But keep in mind, I don't know the exact player, but there's some – they're friends with some poker – World Series of Poker winner.
Let me ask you this. I like to play a little poker occasionally in my hobby time. What would make me want to trust this poker site? So – when you think about poker, the biggest issue.
Well, hold on. It's not a poker site. It's on chain. Everything's on chain, so
right.
There, you
so
can't
can
cheat.
See the metadata of my hole cards, right? So, hey, I've got two hole cards. Someone will know what there are because they're on chain. But
not necessarily. That is. I think that's going to be really hard to do. I actually brought that concern to them, and they're like, "Well, yeah, if you do research stuff, I mean, you could, but
I would never play on it because, or if I played, I would hire someone for like $1,000 an hour to run the metadata for me and tell me what everyone else's cards at the table are.
You could switch your cards in different wallets like before you start playing, and then how are people going to know, because the games go so fast.
Okay. Well, real quick, we talked about it at nauseam, but Cryptopolis, I know that you participate in the NFT space. When you look at like maybe what's come out in the past week, obviously you're in the Discord, you see what people are buying. What do you think is the most interesting thing that like our Discord has aped into in the past week? What do you think would be maybe a decent entry point right now?
Right now, the one that I wanted to get exposure to was the Magic ecosystem. So I bought some of the Lost Samurais. I think they're revealing today, and that has a staking mechanism, and you can earn a samurai sword and land. And then I think yesterday we aped into the Space Riders, which were like a 0.02 mint. It was a slow mint. It took like 2 weeks to mint out. But it has a token. If you minted, you earned 100 of the space token, and then it's passively earning. You don't have to stake. It's passively earning the space token every day. So Space Riders and Lost Samurais are the two that I think have a lot of potential.
Yep, and people in the Discord are co-signing that. Is that on Arbitrum?
No, these are ETH. I don't trade anything but ETH.
Okay. All right. Cool, man.
I will put a little piece of alpha. If you can get some bots and code, I would love to play poker in a scenario where I can see the other people's whole cards. So I'm bullish on that. Bearish on playing if I can't see the other people's whole.
Well,
cards.
Let me just add one more crazy thing that's never been done before in poker is.
Sorry, dude. I'm not trying to be a dick and muting you. Everybody in the Discord is showing screenshots that you're working with the team. I'm just kind of surprised as someone that's in the portal that you came on stage to do this. You are welcome back on this stage because I know that you actually participate in the NFT space. And if you want to come back on another show to talk about NFT projects in the space, then absolutely. But we can't talk about the YMCA.
Damn, he's got screenshots. This is getting out of control.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
No, I'm just keeping it 100. I'm not trying to be a dick. We just can't talk about the YMCA. We got to talk about the big leagues. And look, if the poker thing blows up, I'll be the first one. You'll see me tweet about it. I'll talk about it on the show. I'll be like, I'm an idiot. This thing was the real deal. But we're not talking about things that feel like they're at the YMCA. What were you going to say, Jesse?
No, I just wanted to say, yeah, he came out of the boat doing well. You called him out for diamond handing too much, and then he bragged about paper handing two really great projects. So he had my attention there. I like that. But yeah, first of all, there's been a million things that are trying to do gambling projects. Of course, they're going to be potential quick flips, but we all know there's massive regulatory risk. Trying to build out the game is a massive undertaking. Like, most of these people are not capable of actually executing on any of this. So even if it is a valid project or like a reasonably serious team, you're still climbing a giant hill. But you keep saying that you don't want to be a dick, and I just want to make clear that you can, when Captain Kicks isn't here, you can outsource that to me. That is my lane. So if you ever just need somebody to, you know, slap someone down, I'm here for you, buddy.
And look, yeah, I'm not kidding. He can come back on the show anytime. I will literally let him up on stage the next time. I just expect him to talk about things that people are actually buying and selling in the Discord. Nick, what were you going to say?
No, that's all I was going to say. He's a welcomed member of the community. But damn, you got receipts. Like, dude, you can't come around with that shit. You can't post evidence that we are going to use in the Nifty Morning Alpha Court of Law. You can't run with that shit. Play those games. We will find you. We will hunt you down. And we will embarrass you in front of an entire community.
Well, the best is... I love swine flu. No, I not by me, by our mods. I've said before that I think our mods are an all-star team, and I'm not just saying that. Like, I know, okay, fine, I'm biased. They're the mods in our Discord. Dude, I love swine flu, and I love, like, Bonsai. They'll just, like, dig it up. They'll just hit you with all the receipts, and, like, swine flu's so funny about it. So shout out to the mods in the Discord. That was look, the truth got surfaced almost immediately, and homeboy was on stage trying to fake it, but it...
We just flushed him down the toilet. He's gone.
Well, I'm over here stomping my feet laughing. You're going to make me re-rupture my Achilles. Whoppy, you had your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, just while we were talking about grievances of the Discord, why is Supduck's price floor bot in the Discord?
Oh, yeah. So the Discord has been rioting that Nick hasn't removed the Supduck's floor bot. Wow. All I'm going to say is good luck. Good luck getting him to take that out of there, ladies and gentlemen.
Chip, baby. It's a blue chip. I need people buying Supduck's ASAP. We need that price to pump back up. This has been a disappointing run of one of my NFTs. And so we're just keeping it on there. It does deserve potentially to be replaced with some other. There are some more relevant items. I think Azuki should be added to the Discord, but we can have a conversation about that in the interim. Supducks are a big blue chip project, and I'm not associated with the team. You're not going to find any evidence of that whatsoever.
He's got one Supduck, and this is a message to the Discord. In sales, they tell you to find the right person, find the decision maker. If you're looking to get that Supduck's thing removed, Nick is not the right person. I would recommend going at Elizabeth about that.
No,
you'll have a better shot. Nick is not going to remove it.
I have control over that thing. No one's look. I'm sent all those Discord bots up. Nobody's coming for me. Nobody's coming for me, okay?
Well, yeah, I'm sure no changes are going to be made. So we've got some other speakers. And actually, real quick, I do want to shout out our sponsor, FTX. So FTX has gasless transactions on NFT trades. It also has some of the cheapest fees in the game for crypto trading. Nick, you're way better at ad reads than me. Want to give us a quick one on FTX?
I like how you call it an ad read. And literally every time there's no read from it. It's very apparent that I was not
an ad. Improv
moment, and so that's a more accurate assessment. Look, let's take a deep breath real quick. We've done this before. We need it. We're a little bit hyped up. We just flushed someone literally down the toilet who's in our community, which is like borderline offensive. So we need to pause for a deep breath of air. And you know, give thanks to FTX who provided that oxygen that you just breathed in. They're responsible for your survival. What's crazy, though, is that a company that provides something that's so fundamental to life, you wouldn't sign up for. Like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? You want more survive? You want to survive through some upcoming apocalyptic events because of inflation or something like that? I got the solution. It's FTX. The nifty.com/FTX is going to get you through the apocalypse, World War III, inflation, and everything else. That's just what I'm hearing and what I've experienced from working with this company. It's a great breath of air that I was provided to by FTX. Look, just go to the nifty.com/FTX. Sign up there. Get on an account. Get an account. You're going to get some free crypto. I can't tell you how much. Who knows? Maybe SBF ends up giving you a whole Bitcoin. Is that – like, what are the odds of SBF giving you a full Bitcoin? I don't know. You know, I wish it was 100%. I wish it was 150%. But unfortunately, that wouldn't even be a feasible thing from a probabilistic standpoint. So there's no way in hell that's happening. But my guess is it's less than 100%. If I'm going to take a guess between 0 and 100, I'm going to go under. I'm going to take the under on 100. But that's it. Sign up for the nifty.com/FTX. Support our sponsors, because what we're trying to figure out here is how long it's going to be before they say, why the fuck did we sponsor that guy? Why did we sponsor that team? Because he's making up a bunch of nonsense that seems really irrelevant to our own business. I don't understand it. So they may be wondering about that. But in the interim, you know, they're still with us and they're still paying their invoices. So shout out to FTX. We really appreciate it. The nifty.com/FTX.
It's pinned to the top. Great, great improv read, Nick. We got Elijah on stage, and then I want to throw to valued community member and maybe the funniest person in the Discord, him, Alex. But go ahead, Elijah. What's going on?
What's up, Nifty Portal? Hi, y'all. Yeah, my play for this weekend, I got one this morning. There, the public mint hasn't hit, but I don't see me getting into that. It's called Froyo Kittens. It's basically part of the Froyo verse. Yeah, like I said, the public mint hasn't happened, but the sales on OpenSea are in the 400 ETH. There's been a couple like 50 plus sweeps this morning. It minted last night, and yeah, I just like the creator and the art.
Okay, Froyo Kittens. It looks like people in the Discord are getting excited about the kittens. So
listen, this chick right here, she dropped the, like, I think 100 plus one of ones through COVID for all like the CT like names and stuff, and yeah, they're all aping in too.
Very dope, man. Anything else? Any other projects you're looking at?
I mean, my PFP is a dickle butt. I like them a lot. They're a low entry for anybody. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Sounds good. Yo, him, Alex, one of my favorite people in the Discord, one of the funniest people in there. What's going on?
Oh, hey, mate. Thanks for having me on. That was a very relaxing FTX shout out. Thank you, Nick. Look, I just wanted to shout out, I posted it earlier in the chat, and it's in Australian time, so it's while you guys were sleeping, about the Magic ecosystem. I was watching the Bankless YouTube video on the Treasure DAO. They had a few of the founders from Treasure DAO come on. They were talking about how the small bodies and small brains were coming on. And they're actually integrating with the Kaiju Kings, the Bears Deluxe, the Llamaverse, and about six other layer one ecosystems to come together as a collective to collectively mine small coin as part of the Treasure ecosystem. It might be something that people want to keep their eyes on. I'm a holder of the small bodies and small brains, so might be worth it.
Did you buy small brains early? Hey, him, Alex, you were cutting out there at the end. I thought that you were done speaking, but it sounds like you were just having some technical issues. Did you buy into small brains early?
Yeah, I minted for free. So I've been in from the whole time, and I've had them staked the entire time with the small bodies. But it's worth having a look, because so many of the layer one ecosystems that are pretty popular, Kaiju Kings, Bears Deluxe, Llamaverse, are all integrating with them as part of the Treasure DAO. So it's worth just watching the video that I posted earlier in the Discord. And if you're interested in the small ecosystem, this might be a chance to get in before they officially announce it.
Holy shit. And is that your biggest win so far, is minting that for free?
Yeah, I just drew a picture of a small brain on a piece of cardboard and submitted it to a Discord, not knowing what the fuck I was doing about 6 months ago. And yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I literally had my kid slave labor make her. I said, just draw one of these stupid monkeys with a brain. My six-year-old, when she was born, we had kids at home for COVID. And I don't know what I did. I tried to get, I just couldn't cross the, you know, crypto never works, obviously. You guys all know, I hope you guys all realize that at this point. But yeah, I couldn't get the cross-chain thing working, and I've been regretting it ever since, because small brains, they had that double win effect. They were going up, but also the token was going up at one point. I don't know how many you still have, but yeah, that's a nice win.
Yeah, I still own all of them. So I own the two brains and the two swole bodies. I think they're all going to be able to be staked for magic. So I think some of the parts of the treasure ecosystem emit magic as part of their release schedule. And I think small brains are, my understanding is they're also going to be released gradually. So the small brains will have an emission release schedule of magic, and they'll also be able to be staked for this small coin. So I think they're trying to be a group that onboards projects. This is supposed to be the ground layer for allowing other ecosystems and games to actually come in and build on the Treasure DAO ecosystem. It sounds pretty interesting. Look, I'm in for free, so my cost basis is zero, apart from gas, so I'm going to hang on forever.
And you got a Shonen Junk as your PFP, is that right?
Yeah, look, I think after I heard the space initially with, I forget the guy, the name.
Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah. I listened to him and I had a look and looked into the Twitter spaces he was talking about. And yeah, look, it's the Crunchyroll guys. There's two of them at least. They're having spaces regularly. I mean, I don't understand why the project hasn't got more popularity than it has when, you know, if we're talking about buying into teams, these guys are some of the biggest names in anime, and they're talking about having a decentralized anime Web3 ecosystem. So I minted 10. I think I sold a couple. I've got 8 left, including my PFP, which is, I think, a 98 rarity on the rarity listing. So
I'm wow, that. That's crazy, man. And so, yeah, that was like a slow mint. More often than not, when there's slow mints that aren't like derivative degen plays, like everybody knew that this was from the founder of Crunchyroll. Jonah did the research for everybody. Boneheads, idiots like me, just would not mint it, I guess. Nick minted it. Nick had the big brain on this one. Our guy Fran Alations, who I know was listening earlier, I don't know if he's still in the crowd. Shout out to Fran. Live on this show, he was on stage and he minted it. It was instant reveal. He got like a rare Power Rangers Shonen Junk and got an offer for a half ETH on it immediately. So he just minted it for 0.07, immediately got a half ETH offer, immediately accepted it. I think he might be feeling like that was a paper hand move now that it's become legit, but I would have done the exact same thing. But him, Alex, man, you've had some good wins. How many portals do you have?
I have 31, and I'm a bit pissed that it was pumping today because I want to accumulate way more than that. 31
it's a
is
smart
under
move.
Exposure.
I think this is, I keep saying it on the show. I know it's like a no-show show, but I still think anything under 0.5 is like a very underrated price point. I mean, I think I own like 150 of these, so obviously I'm kind of shilling my own bag. But when you really look at the value of the media brand and, you know, what these guys are looking to do, I'm very bullish up to 0.5 and then dumping. Dumping all of them at the same time.
Nice.
Oh, look, I owned a Rug Radio, and no offense to Farouk. I think he's, you know, he's doing what he's doing in the space, but I sold that recently. I should have sold it for point. I had a scarce one, so I should have sold it for 3.5, but I missed out on that. Recently sold for 0.9 and dumped it all into portals because I just see you guys doing a lot more than what they're doing. I see you're doing something that no one else is doing in this space. It's very unique. You're clearly getting a following. I mean, I have limited free time with my job, and I'm spending every day in Australian time listening to your spaces, watching your YouTube videos. So it's a no-brainer for me.
Well, thanks, man. And yeah, we appreciate you participating. And shout out to Farouk. Farouk is absolutely crushing and doing his thing. I also own Rug Radio. And obviously, he's like the OG content creator in the space, dialing it back to Clubhouse days. Nick, you were going to say something?
No, it sounded like he was like shots fired thrown at Farouk, but I own Rug Radio as well. He's just doing something different. I mean, that's like what there's and look, like, man, I remember from the Facebook days, there were like 40, 50 different publications covering the same storyline, and everyone grew. And I think that's something that most people don't realize, is that like media and is not a winner take all space. And instead it's more about like unique voices and unique formats and things like that, that actually end up surviving and thriving. And so, yeah, I mean, there's no, I think it's possible and likely that, you know, everyone that if you keep showing up every day and you keep building, that a lot of people, there's room for even more in this space. Like it's so, yeah. Anyways, bottom line is I'm a big supporter of Rug Radio as well.
Oh yeah, and it's not shots fired at Rug Radio. I think they're great.
It was shots fired. Don't lie.
It was okay. Look, shots across the bow for Rug Radio. I want to sink that ship. No, look. I mean, I think, you know, I think about what am I spending my free time doing, and am I spending it listening to Rug Radio? For me personally, no, I'm not. I'm spending it listening to you guys. I'm spending it in the portal. And so, you know, buy what you're using naturally, and that's what I'm doing. So I've decided to place a reasonably large bet on you guys.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, you know, and just a reminder, everyone, when I bought the local top of the Bape NFT at 0.8 Ethereum, I bought two of them. So I deployed almost, you know, like $6,000 into that right at that local top. Literally the minute that I bought it, it just had a nosedive to 0.38. And I was trying to deal with that in the Discord, being like, yeah, the volume looks pretty good. Every single post that I put in there trying to get like basically someone to say like, yeah, the Bape's going to be okay. Him, Alex, responded with a meme of a guy jumping off of a bridge, jumping out of a window, throwing himself off of a building. And it was very, very funny, and it made me feel better.
I have to assume it's because he's kind of flying. That guy would just fly up to the moon. He's trying to fly, like your Bape would fly, right?
Exactly.
That was not the intention.
So we have a few, we're about to wrap in a couple minutes, but a couple people haven't gotten a chance to speak. So let's throw to Elijah, who's had his hand raised. I want to see if Vladimir, who I don't believe has been on the show, has anything to say. And then I want to finish with Fareshte. Elijah, what's going on?
Sorry, I forgot to mention, I know you like rare Pepes. A new drop just happened there called Pepe Liberation Army. I just know you're into Pepes.
That is not affiliated with rare Pepes. That is one of the free mints that have really low unique ownership. A bunch of people get the free mint, they buy like the whole supply, and then they do a Twitter rampage where they try to shill it to other people so that they can like literally 50x to other people and have them hold the bag. That's my opinion on that. If I'm wrong about that, okay, but I saw it before with Lonely Frog Lambo Club, and I've seen it with other very similar free mint things. That is not affiliated with Rare Pepes. Moving on to Vladimir. What's going on, Vladimir?
What's up, Vlad? Better, I mean, if it's shorter for you and not, you know, it's a longer name and it's a little bit difficult, but it's okay. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I want to shout out to my ape fellows, too. You know, and I was just listening to you, and I like what you're doing on all, because you're exposing some projects and shit that people probably would go in and try to, you know, play, but it's just like a cash grab and shit. So shout out for that. And, you know, I just came into this space. This is my first time. So I guess you're not like shilling the project.
Definitely not, buddy.
Yeah, nothing. Just wanted to come by, say what's up, that I like what you're talking about, that I'm going to join right now to your Discord, see what you're all about. And
you got to buy the portal. You got to buy 100 of them to get in the Discord.
That's not true. It's not 100. You just have to buy one. Go ahead, Nick. Oh, maybe not. Well, Vladimir, yeah. Appreciate you appreciating the show. And would love to have you in the community. But I'd also like to hear, like, you know, did you buy any NFTs this week? And if so, what did you buy?
I just bought the Mutant Ape, because I'm like a long time following the project, and you know, to be honest with you, I'm already like a year into NFTs, and to be honest, I was at the start, I was like a little bit skeptic, you know, what is this and all, and then I started learning about it eventually, and then I figure out, but It was though a little bit expensive and stuff, but I really bought it because I really like it. I didn't bought it just like, you know, to flex or something. I like the project. I was following it for a very long time, you know, a little bit late, but like they say, it's never too late. I like that. I'm looking also into the Kaiju Kings and Cyber Kongs. This is also the, what I like. Those are, I know, big projects, but as I say, I'm already like a 1 year into the NFTs and stuff, and you know, I have some friends who are already like in crypto, and I was in the crypto in maybe past like 2 years and stuff. So for me, this year of NFT and 2 years of crypto was just a learning, and I learned everything what I need to know. So basically, I urge people to check this out. You know, it's not bad. It's not scams. You just got to be careful with all the scams, what's going on, and people trying to steal your shit and stuff. So, you know, pretty much that's about it.
Very well said, man. Appreciate you coming on stage and talking about that. It sounds like you're making really good buys. You bought a Mutant Ape. Obviously, it's a high price point right now. Not everybody can buy that. But at the same time, if you have the resources, you're typically better off plugging them into something really, really good. And I'd be hard-pressed to find something better than the Bored Ape ecosystem. And really appreciate you, you know, offering to potentially join the community. Looks like someone else just joined the community. New York Blockchain bought the portal and said that they are listening to the show. So everyone in the Discord is welcoming New York Blockchain. We appreciate anybody that, you know, comes here. New York Blockchain said that they just requested to speak. Definitely come on Monday. We're about to wrap. Otherwise, I'd let you on stage now. Nick, what were you going to say?
Did you see the Nifty Peasant who bought yesterday?
Excuse me?
That's their username, Nifty Nifty Portal Peasant. And I really appreciate that. There was only like one or two that I had, you know, deemed a peasant in the Discord previously. So I don't know if it's one of those individuals, but that's literally the username of the person who ended up, the OpenSea username of the person that ended up buying it. So shout out to whoever the Nifty Peasant is.
And I just want to say, I set off the bull run on Nifty Portals by selling and by Nick shaming me so savagely. He scared anybody into selling off. So you know how they say there's no shame in taking profits? Not with Uncle Nick, folks. Okay. So
do but not you still sell have what?
So we'll come after you.
You have 20 of them or something, though, don't you?
Yeah, I have like 24 or something like that. I want to get back to Triple Whale status.
Yeah, anybody is welcome to sell.
Happy to lower the floor. I'd like to pick some up at a cheaper price. So if you're interested in selling, holler at your boy.
Yeah, seriously, sell them. My in-real-life friends are now catching on that we're actually, you know, not a bunch of bozos, and they're like, oh, I want to buy in. So I'd rather let them get in at a cheaper price. So by all means, sell your portals, do whatever you got to do. Last but not least, we got Fereshte on stage. Looks like Fereshte is an artist. What NFTs, though, have you been buying? Like, do you buy collectibles? Do you speculate on NFTs? What's the story there?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me speak. I read the title very fast. I read it NFT collector, but I see the title now, it's NFT collections, and so I wanted to share, but but I can answer your question. I wanted a little introduce myself.
Fresh, everybody should follow Fereshte. I'm looking at her art right now. It's very, very, very dope. So definitely follow Fereshte. Fereshte, you can even pin something to the top of this. If you're promoting something, you can pin it to the top. And I appreciate you coming on. I'd love to have you back on next week to talk about like a project or something that you bought, like maybe a speculative play. But appreciate you coming on the show. And it looks like your art is super duper dope. So definitely come back, talk about you know, projects that you're buying, that you're speculating on. And otherwise, you can go ahead and pin a collection that you have to the top. We're going to wrap up, everybody. People in the Discord are telling me to play YMCA because of those YMCA jokes that I was making before. We're not going to do that, man. We're going to keep it sexy here on a Friday. Everyone have a good weekend. Weekends are typically up only in the NFT space. So let's just do our thing. Thanks for listening. Check out FTX at the top. Check out Fereshte's work if she pins it to the top. Buy our NFT. Subscribe to our YouTube. Join our podcast. You got a lot of work to do, man. A lot of calls to action. Thanks so much for joining. We'll see you guys next time.